address at the fellowship meeting with Dr. Neil Shepherd at Croydon on the 10th of September 1994.
Good evening, everybody. I wonder if we could begin this evening by singing number 464. Lord of glory, we adore thee. Christ of God, ascended high. Heart and soul, we bow before thee, glorious now beyond the sky. Thee we worship, thee we praise, excellent in all thy ways. 464. Gracious, blessed God, our Father, we thank thee that thou hast said to thy beloved one, sit at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Oh, how glad we are to know tonight that that is where he is, at thy right hand, and is there, blessed God, our Father, until that wonderful moment dawns. When, as we have thought, he's going to come back to take us home and then back to reign. and our blessed God, how worthy he is. How infinitely wonderful it will be for this poor world to be under a reign which is really in accordance with thy mind. How perfect his supremacy, King of kings and Lord of lords, without a rival. Oh God, our Father, what great things thou hast in view. We've been thinking this afternoon a little of the wonderful thing that thou hast done in giving us to him to be his bride and companion forever. And oh God, our Father, how we rejoice that all that coming glory is going to be his when man has been, every man's power and position has been forgotten. How great he is and only worthy. And oh God, our Father, it's because he died here. We remember that the word says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And oh God, our Father, we ask that thou wouldst help us tonight to think of him. Lord Jesus, thee we worship. Thee we praise, excellent in all thy ways. Help us then, we all need thee, Lord Jesus, so much. We feel that things in this world are going on fast towards the moment of the rise of the beast. And Lord, thou art coming for us before that moment. And oh, how we long to see thee. And so we pray that thou wouldst open thy word to us tonight, our gracious God, our Father, by thy Spirit's power, that every one of us might come to know a little bit more and to understand a little bit more of the glory of Christ. Oh, that thou wouldst do this for us. Help us to see no man save Jesus only with ourselves, we pray. And thus we commit ourselves to thee, our Father. Thou knowest the poverty and inabilities and thy poor servant, and we ask that thou wouldst put those all away, even the poverty of memory and that kind of thing, that our hearts might be engaged with Christ. We ask it as we commit ourselves to thee again, in his peerless, blessed, precious name. Amen. Amen. I have a number of scriptures to read to you, beloved, and we're going to begin in the last chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke 24. I'm going to read at verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. The 16th of John. I think I'll read the last two verses of the 15th chapter first. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16, verse 5. And now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 22. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Chapter 20. Verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Acts 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come, in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. The Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body, and one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. One more passage I would like to read is in the Revelation chapter 19, We've been reading a bit later on than that this afternoon, but I would like just to read a few verses in the 19th chapter. Verse 11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many diadems. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Perhaps we could sing another hymn together. I think we'll sing number 81. O Lord, thy glory we behold, though not with mortal eyes, that glory on the Father's throne no human sight descries. Number 81.
Thank you.
isn't it, that we are able to be gathered here this evening, indifferent in one sense to all that's around us, not in one sense indeed, because the need of every heart in it is Christ personally, but nevertheless indifferent to the ways of Satan as he goes on in this age in which we live, seeking to draw men aside, seeking indeed to draw us aside if he could. But oh, how precious it is to be able to have before us a day very soon coming when the Lord of glory is going to be supreme in this very world in which we live. And every knee is going to bow to him, and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. What a great thing to be able to lift our hearts tonight and see in anticipation what's just about to happen. Not at some distant time in the future. How do I know that? Well, I know that because of what the Lord said. When you see the fig tree putting forth its leaves, you know that summer's nigh. Even so, when you see these things, you know that it is near, even at the doors. Beloved, it's at the doors. The fig tree's putting forth its leaves, isn't it? It's been putting forth its leaves for quite a time. And we know that summer's nigh. And you know, I believe that God would have us take a little glimpse into the glory. He loves to occupy his people with the glory of his Son. And I wanted us just to think about, for a few little while, about these few scriptures that we've read together. First of all, taking his own out to Bethany. Oh, what a sad time they'd been through. He'd been rejected. He'd been cast out and crucified. But oh, what a wonderful time they'd been through too. He'd come out of the grave. That glorious, blessed person had vanquished all the powers of death and hell and Satan. And he'd come out victorious. And he took them out as far as to Bethany. And you know, I wonder what the thoughts were going through their minds. But the moment came when he was parted from them with his hands outstretched in blessing. And that has never ceased. Just think of the vast company. We've been thinking of it together today. The vast company that's going to be in glory. All like Christ. When we shall see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. All like Christ. In that unnumbered host. Beloved, what marvelous things these are. And as he went up from this world, the highest place in glory had already been prepared for him. He's the only one who can ever take it. The only one who's worthy of it. Supreme King of Kings in this world. And Lord of Lords, when there isn't another name to be mentioned. I think that's a marvelous thing. You think of men and their names, they're all going to be forgotten. Not the greatest of men has any place when Jesus is there, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he went up with blessing. And he is the great high priest of blessing, the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. You know, and the order of Melchizedek was connected with blessing. You say, but we've had such an awful time. Why haven't the brethren been divided in so many ways? Haven't there been all kinds of terrible things come in? Yes, there have been all kinds of terrible things, which have not brought honor to the Lord's name, alas. We've all been guilty of them. We've all had our place in them. But his desire is our blessing. And you know, he's the same wonderful blesser at the right hand of the majesty in the glory, the majesty in the heavens, as he was that day when he was parted from them and went up to heaven. But you know, we've all of us had our part in this, haven't we? We've been saddened many a time, individually. All kinds of troubles have come upon us. I'm sure that it's true. As one thinks about our own lives personally, think about all those whom we know. We've had our bereavements and our sorrows. We've had some of us loss of jobs and all kinds of things that we couldn't overcome in this world. The wonderful thing it is that Jesus knows all about our struggles, that he's seen every detail of everything that's happened to us, and he knows us through and through, and he loves us completely. He gave his life for us. Wonderful, blessed Savior. The thing which comes so forcibly to our hearts tonight is that each one of us can say, as we said this afternoon, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. You say, well, I've been a pretty poor specimen. Yes, so Lord. You're not alone, my friend, if you feel that you've been a poor specimen in the testimony. We've all been poor specimens in the testimony. In our own personal lives, we've nothing to boast about, have we? Not only that, but it's the collective thing that so much troubles me, and I'm sure troubles us all. We've come together today from all kinds of different circumstances, both religious and physical and in our lives and so on. And you know, it would be a terrible thing if we hadn't got a sense of the poverty of all that we've done. But God doesn't want us to look at our poverty. He wants us to look at another man. There's another man, beloved, infinitely great, infinitely wonderful, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What was his joy? His joy was having us with him as his companion. His joy was to have fulfilled the Father's will in every detail of that will. Blessing is what he wants to bring to every one of us today. And so we can raise our thanksgiving, we can lift our hearts, because that is our portion. He took them out as far as to Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And there's a throne of grace available to every one of us from that day to this. And it's still available to every one of us. If you're feeling down, my beloved friend, if you find yourself overcome by things which beset you in your life, or have done, may I just tell you again that this is a throne of grace available for every one of us. And oh, how precious that throne, but supremely how precious the one who sits upon that throne, and whose love to you has never changed and is never going to change. He loves you with an everlasting love. How precious this is. And he's the blesser, and he wants to pour his blessing into your soul personally, and into your circumstances personally, and into your dealings with your friends and your neighbors. You know, you're telling them, when you tell them about Jesus and tell them what a great Savior he is, how he delights in this. When you mention to the people you meet every day, maybe the grocer or whoever, the wonder, the glorious wonder of the fact that this blessed one loves them too. My dear friend, he's the blesser. And that's the first thing I wanted to say to you tonight. Let us turn to John, to John's Gospel, chapter 16. And you know, I wanted just to say from the end of the previous chapter that the Lord Jesus was looking forward to a moment when there would be a man himself in the glory of God and a person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, living in the hearts of all those who had their faith in him. This is the Christian era in which we live, and it's the Spirit's era. And he has come to dwell in the heart of every Christian, as we know so well. And he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. So that every one of us, if our hearts are really his, if we belong to him at all, we have the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. And every conceivable resource is ours. He looks after us from day to day. And the Lord Jesus on the throne looks after us too. What a marvelous thing this is. The fact of his high priesthood goes on forever. He wears our names upon his breast. He wears our names upon his shoulders. He knows all about us. And you know, sometimes we think we've been forgotten, don't we? Very easy to think we've been forgotten. Oh, the Lord knows all about Mr. So-and-so down the road. Yes, he's looking after him, but what about me? Ah, he's not forgotten you either, my dear friend. You're named there perpetually. He loves you. Nobody can ever love you as he loves you. Is there anyone here who has never yet come to know him as their own precious personal saviour? It's possible. Even in meetings like this, such people can come easily within the sound of the voice of the speaker. Let me tell you this, he loves you. He died for you. And no one can ever love you as the Lord Jesus loves you. It's impossible. He went under the judgment of God against our guilt. All that was against us reigned against us. If you put your trust in him tonight, we'll be removed, as indeed it has been removed from all of us who are his own. How great and matchless and wonderful a person he is. You know, we may think that we appreciate him, but we don't appreciate him as much as his Father appreciates him. And his Father has given him the highest place of all. And that, not only now, in the time when men still laugh at his name, but you know that is also for the eternal future. He's going to be forever. The one who is honored as the Father is honored. How great and matchless these things are, beloved. And the Spirit brings them to our hearts and delights to do so. He came to do it. And so it was that, as we read, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so he lives within our hearts. What for? What for? He lives within our hearts to show us the glory of Christ. He lives within our hearts to guide us through this dreadful world, that we might be here for God and for him. He lives within our hearts that there might be a cry from our hearts, Abba, Father, to his Father. Oh, what matchless things there are. Beloved, if we hadn't got the Spirit, we wouldn't understand any of them. We are great forerunners, see, in his own glory there, yet not ashamed, with such that we, as firstborn, all to share. He's going to have us sharing it with him. He's going to put upon all his own, his bride, his companion, those glories which he has won as a man. Oh, the preciousness of this. Beloved, you love him, you know him, his spirit lives in your hearts. Oh, just think about it, the greatness of these matchless things that God has made known to us. And the Lord Jesus said, up to now you've never prayed in my name. Have you ever thought of this? The majority of people never pray in the Lord's name. Oh, I know, they say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But they don't pray in the Lord's name to the Father, do they? The great majority of people never do, even so-called Christians. Many who are true Christians. Characteristic is knowing the Father. I read to you from John 20, where Mary Magdalene was given this matchless message, the greatest message that's ever been entrusted to a human soul. I go so far as to say I'm sure that's true. Marvelous thing. Go tell my brethren. Say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. All through the Lord's life in this world, he'd been saying, the Father does this, Father does the other. I and my Father are one. And they said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And the Lord said, I've been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. All those precious things which came out in the life of the Lord Jesus, where did they come from? The Father's glory. It's a matchless thing to think, isn't it, about the things he did. Everywhere there was need, he was there. Throughout his life, where there were men and women, I'm sure boys and girls too, in need, and there were often these. Everywhere he went, there were these. He was there. He came. Why? To meet that need, of course. But it was the Father's love. I and my Father are one, he could say. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Just that, bow your heart in the Father's presence. How great and wonderful it is to be brought to such a Father, part of the family, with the same life and nature. We were thinking this afternoon of what it is to be a possessor of the divine nature, and so it is a matchless thing. But if you know the Father and the Son, this is eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Precious thing to have eternal life, the knowledge of God. I think the very first, it's always been an interesting thing to me. When you were seeking to lead some person to the Lord Jesus, perhaps after a gospel meeting or something, or some place where you happen to be, and you ask them just to pray. Would you like to just pray with me? I've said this to many a person. And they say, well, I can't pray. Well, you just try and see how you get on. They always say, Father. He loves to be known to the babes as the Father. He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob even, with all his wanderings and foolishness and strivings. Yes, but he's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How precious that is. Beloved, the great thing is to raise our delight in him, that our hearts might be occupied with him. I ascend, was the message, to my Father and your Father now, not only the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but the Father of each one of us who has put our trust in him. What it is to be a child in that family, to be a son in that family, to have got even some understanding of what it means to have left behind, trying to do my best and trying to be a better person. You remember how in the 7th of Romans, the Apostle Paul told us that he tried hard to keep the law after he was converted. And he found that in me, that's what he said, in me, that is, in my flesh, good does not dwell. Oh, how hard he tried. Yes, he did. And it was unsuccessful. Why? Because he had inside himself that nature which would always want to do other things. When he knew what he ought to do, he did the opposite. When he knew what he ought not to do, he did the opposite as well. What was the answer to that situation? Oh, wonderful answer. The answer comes in the 8th of Romans. The Spirit dwelling in his heart was the answer. And the Spirit dwelling in your heart is the answer. And my heart too. Naturally speaking, we try to do things ourselves. We try to be better. Even after we've been converted. We do. But God has put in our hearts, beloved, what a great and glorious and wonderful thing this is. God has put in our hearts the very Spirit of his Son, that we might be found here doing those things which pleased the Father when the Lord Jesus did them. And if the Spirit of his Son is in our hearts, too. We read a verse at the end. Oh, it's rather not, it's at the beginning of Ephesians 5, isn't it? Which has intrigued me tremendously in trying to see what it means. Be kind one to another. This is the last verse of Ephesians 4. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Do you know, I happen to believe that very many of all the troubles which have occurred amongst brethren, and not only amongst brethren, but among almost every denomination of Christians too, have been due to the fact that we haven't been in any sense as we ought to have been as dear children of God. We've easily fallen out. We haven't easily forgiven. We haven't walked in love to those around us, to those whom we really do love, in any case, because they belong to the same Lord as we do. But it's terribly easy to have my own way still, to want my own way still, just leave this to for us to think about for a little, because I think it's terribly important. we should seek to be here as God wants us to be here, as his children. You know, it's always expected that sons and daughters should be like their mothers and fathers, isn't it? Even in human life this applies. But God has given us this in order that it might be a picture to us all, of how he wants us to behave as his children, his sons, where there's nothing of that kind known, in a world which is cold with indifference to God, in a world where the devil is in the ascendancy apparently. Beloved, it's a wonderful thing to be able to open this book. We were talking about how the Lord cleanses us, how the various things he does to make us fit for his own blessed presence when he comes as our bridegroom, as he's soon going to do. What a marriage that'll be, won't it? Marvelous thing. The one who's arranged it is the Father. The one to whom we're going is the Son. And the one who's taking us there is the Spirit. How precious. The Father himself loveth you, because you've loved me, the Lord Jesus said, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. The supreme power in the universe is the power of God's love. That which he, indeed, a brother was saying to me just now in the interval, that God made this world and the world and the universe, indeed, just in order that that love could be displayed. And I believe that to be entirely and absolutely true. Love he had for his beloved one. The center of all the thoughts of God is that blessed one who came in lowly grace to meet our need. I wonder if I can take you just... Yes, the time seems to have gone. To Ephesians 4. I want to tell you this, that there is one body. And we are members of that body. Everyone who's a Christian is a member of that body. It isn't a question of anything else at all. If you belong to Christ, you're a member of that body. You have certain functions which you have to perform in that body. But it's absolutely vital that we should all realize that we're members of one body, not 50 bodies, not 1,000 bodies, one body, of whom our blessed Lord Jesus is the head, in order that we might be subject to his direction in our lives. Not subject to other people's direction. You know, so often we've listened, have we not, to the ideas that we're subject to what men want us to do in this or that or the other. We're not really. It's true we have to consider one another in everything. But the Spirit's direction, the Lord's direction, is that which governs the actions of his own. And we're one body. And we all have an integrating way which God has with us in order that that body may function properly. It can't unless we all do our job. What does it do? Does it reject others who love the same Lord? Does it turn them out of the meeting room? I really ask this question in sincerity, because I've seen it do it. and it may be that some others of us have seen it do it too. Just think of what happens occasionally has been in the Lord's sight, what he thinks of it. Members of his body, with no charge against them, no righteous charge against them at all, but simply they don't turn up at the same place that we do usually. Wouldn't that be a dreadful thing? I've been brought up in this sense, as you have, and I feel very, very concerned to say it. But there is only one body. It says so here. I haven't invented this. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He went down first, and now he's gone up. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. It has one object in view, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. The day is coming very soon, beloved. One body is going to be brought to completion in this sense. And oh, how perfect it is to see what God has in view. And if he has it in view, what are we doing about it here? Are we subject to the Spirit of God in all that we do, collectively and individually? What a precious thing this is. It all comes from the head in heaven. He's our Lord. He's Lord of your life, if you're a Christian. He's head in relation to the company. Oh, that we might learn more and more to bow our hearts in his blessed presence, to be prepared for everything he calls upon us to do. You know, I sometimes feel there's a difficulty with some about the question of what we do in the way of service, how I act as a servant to this blessed master. I just wanted just to say this, that we're not servants in the sense of bond slaves to anyone but this blessed master. And it's tremendously important that we should be obedient to him and to him alone. He's ascended. He's gone up. The mighty victor. He's gone up. The one who's shortly coming. He's gone up. The one who sent the Spirit here. He's gone up as the one who sits upon the Father's throne. And he's brought us into that family. His Father's family. The wonderful life of that family is eternal life. It's something which we're never going to lose. But in the meantime, we have a way of behaving. And the way we behave collectively is as one body. The way we behave individually is as servants, bond slaves of a very, very wonderful and ever-blessed master. May the Lord bless us. I wonder if we could sing number 136, Father, Spring and Source of Blessing. Grateful praise to thee we bring, object of thy sovereign favor, gladly of thy love we sing, love that found its full expression in thy well-beloved Son, him who dwelling in thy bosom hath thy love made fully known. 136. gracious, blessed Father, we bring to thee the homage of our hearts. We worship thee together. We do indeed thank thee for the glory of Christ. We thank thee, O blessed God, that thou hast put him in the highest place. And we bless thee from our hearts that every knee is going to bow to him, to thine eternal glory. And O God, our Father, we thank thee for ever having drawn us to him. We were on our way away from thee when love beyond measure drew us to Christ. And O God, what a wonderful thing we discovered, that he died for us to put away everything that was against us. And O God, in order that we might be forever in thy home with him. Oh, can we call our home our Father's house on high? The rest of God, our rest to come, our place of liberty. Yes, in that light unstained, our stainless souls shall live. Our heart's deep longings more than gained, when thou thy rest shall give. Our Father, we worship thee again. And we look forward so much to the moment when we shall be caught up to meet him in the clouds. And we desire above everything that it might be tonight. But, oh God, we're going to be like him then. This we cannot understand, but we long to be like him. And our blessed Father, to think too of the fact that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. We pray that we might be more like him in the little while we may be left, until he comes. Oh God, we think of thy people. We do think of the way the devil has tried to rend us asunder. And we ask that thou wouldst put all this behind us, so to speak, that we might be found as those who love, all those who love thy name. That we may not only love them, O God, but love them with that kind of forgiving love which thou dost show, and that we might be imitators of thee, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we roll ourselves again upon thee, our Father. We thank thee for having shown us the glory of some of these things which thy word teaches us. We pray that thou wouldst help us to find out more and more, that we may spend our lives in thy precious word. We commit ourselves to thee. We give to thee again the praise and thanksgiving and adoration of our hearts in the Lord's precious name. Amen. Amen.